at all. It will shock you how much they're going to learn in the next 10 years. You know what? By the time you're 25, you thought, man, my mom daddy sure has got smart. They knew it all along, and you could be it. Because your mom daddy has been where you've been. They've been where you've been. They've been where you've not been. You've only been where you've been. You ain't never been where you ain't been. You've only been where you've been, not where you ain't been. They've been where you've been, where you ain't been. That's right. Whatever. Whatever that. But what I mean is, they can tell you some things. And the best way to learn something is you better take it from the Bible and take it from somebody maybe a little bit older than you. Experience is the best teacher. When you learn something by experience, it's deep. You don't forget it. It's a part of you. They said that the Bible, the study of the Bible, is a postgraduate course in the richest library of human history. Experience has been described as compulsory education. There's a lot of things you just learn through life. My daddy, many of you knew my dad before he passed away with a heart attack back in 1990. And my dad never had an education. He never went to school. He never, maybe second grade, something like that. But he's one of the smartest people you've ever met in your life. Just had a lot of common sense and a lot of just plain downright wisdom. And my daddy said a lot of things that I look back on now. And he used to tell me things. And come to find out, my daddy was right. You know, when you're young, you think, they don't know what they're talking about. You just don't understand. No, it's you that don't understand. They understand perfectly. It's the kids that don't understand. And so you learn stuff like you never wake up your second kid just to see it smile. You let it sleep if it's going to sleep. You at first baby, you know, oh, let's wake it up and play with it. You don't do that with that second one, the third one. You learn all kinds of things like that. You learn that God don't give kids to you so you can raise them. God gives you kids so that you can grow up. And they can raise you. Help you grow up a lot. Like that little old boy, he's in the bed one night. You know how kids always want a drink of water when they lay down and go to sleep. They always, my three back there, every night. I don't care how much they drink before they went to bed. As soon as they lay down, they want a drink of water. And one little boy said, Daddy, can I have a drink? Well, he said, you hush right now. I told you to get it before you go to bed. Now you hush and go to sleep. About 5 minutes, he says, Daddy, can I have a drink of water? He said, I told you, hush right now. I don't want to hear it. You're not getting no water. Daddy, he said, if you say that one more time, I'm going to come in there and beat the fire out of you. Don't you open your mouth. About 5 minutes later, he said, Daddy, what? He said, when you get up to spank me, will you bring me a drink of water? That's the way they do. That's what they'll do you, man. I tell you, that can sure teach you some stuff. I ain't kidding you. That's right. Let me tell you some things you learn. As you go through life, there's just certain things that you got to learn. Like I said, you're going to learn them the easy way, or you're going to learn them the hard way. But you are going to learn them. Some people don't learn till they die. Then it's too late. Some people won't learn till the judgment day. And it's too late. Yes. I learned that the only thing that men learn from history is that men never learn from history. Do you know that? The only thing men learn from history is that men never learn from history. Every generation goes and makes the same mistakes that the former generation made before. It just goes in a big circle. You notice that? They said they who refuse to learn the lessons of history are condemned to repeat them. If a person don't learn the lessons of history, they go right on and make the same mistakes that the generation before them made. Somebody said this. They said, I've learned this through my life, kids. I've learned you never judge a person until you've walked a mile in their shoes. Amen? Now, you better learn that tonight. It's easy to sit back and criticize and say, well, I don't know about old so-and-so. And if I'd have been that, I would have never done this. Now, you've not been in their shoes. You don't know what they face. I mean, y'all know me. You know, I know people all over the United States, and I've got my share of critics. There's no doubt about it. And there's people who are experts about Danny Castle who have never even met me. They don't even know me. Well, let me tell you about him. You know, these geniuses that don't ever do nothing and sit around all the time. And, boy, I'll tell you, I have learned the hard way. You never judge a person until you've been down the road they've been down. I've learned this. I've learned you can't sling mud without losing ground. Amen? Every time you point your finger at somebody, there's three of them pointing back at you. See them there? It never fails. With what judgment you throw out there, it'll come back. How you treat people, people's going to treat you. You reap what you sow. You can... I always used to tell Carrie when she was little, I'd say, honey, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool all the people every once in a while, and you can fool everybody every now and then, but you can't never fool God. Never. God knows who you are, where you are, what you're doing, and you can't fool God. You learn a lot of lessons through life, like a Smith and Wesson beats four aces, you know. Never play leapfrog with unicorns, stuff like that. I mean, you just learn stuff as you go along through life. And tonight, I'm going to give you some things that I have learned. And I want all you boys and girls to listen tonight. I know a lot of them's not here this evening, but I want you to listen to one of them. I preach this all over the United States. I preach up in New York, up there around Rochester, New York. There'll be about 600 or 700 teenagers, and I preach it down south and out in Texas and California and everywhere. And I'll be going out to Arizona here in a couple of weeks, and I tell them everywhere I go. And the first thing I want to say is this. The first lesson you better learn as you grow up is that sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. Sin will paint you a pretty picture, but will never show you the backside of that picture. It gives you the impression that it's all good, that it's all fun. It's like the front of a billboard. And here's this guy, you know, he's got his arm around a pretty girl. He's sitting on the hood of a Corvette. I mean, you know, he's got a bottle of Jack Daniels in his hands or something like that. And that gives you the impression. You get the impression that, boy, if I live like that, then I'll have the Corvette and I'll have... That's the way sin does. The devil puts up a pretty picture. The devil never shows you the backside of the picture. When the alcohol is controlling his life, when he's wrecked the Corvette, when his lady run off and left him, when he's going into DTs, the devil never shows you. Sin is always a facade. Sin is always a front. It's a front. It promises much, but brings little. Sin doesn't seem wrong anymore because it is so deceitful. People have minimized sin. In our generation, we say, well, people used to believe that's wrong, but you know, we're modern and we're educated and we're enlightened and we can, quote, handle it. And we think we can handle sin, but nobody's big enough to handle sin. It'll get you, it'll get me. It'll destroy your life, it'll destroy my life. Sin is deceitful. It's deceitful in its promises. The devil, you know what the devil told Eve back there in the Garden of Eden? The devil told Eve that she would be better off if she ate that fruit. Remember that scene? He said, you ever had one of these? And Eve said, no, I ain't eating that. And he said, come on, man, just take one bite. It won't hurt you. For God knows that when you eat this fruit, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what he said? Eve, you'd be better off if you done that. Like saying, you want that translated? Translated is, an affair would be good for your marriage. Stuff like that. People today tell you, you'd be better off just to try it. I preached against drugs one time, taking drugs and smoking pot and shooting up heroin and everything else. And these kids turned to me and they said, but let me ask you something, Danny. Have you ever tried it? And I said, no, I haven't. I've never smoked pot. I've never done anything. I don't even know what it looks like. They said, you've never done it? And I said, no, I hadn't. And you know what they said? They looked back and said, don't knock it till you've tried it. How can you say it ain't no good? I said, have you ever tried putting your head under the wheel of an 18-wheeler truck? No, don't knock it till you tried it, man. There's some things that you ought to have enough sense to leave alone. Ain't that right? Say amen right there. I can't hear you. Thank you. Amen. Listen, buddy. That book said sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. A man is first startled by sin. Then it becomes pleasing. Then easy. Then delightful. Then frequent. Then habitual. Then confirmed. The man is impenitent and obstinate. And then finally damned by his own sin at the judgment day. The Bible said the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know what? In counseling people for all these years, I've been pastoring 28 years now, and I'm preaching about 25 different places a year besides here at our church, and everywhere my phone was ringing this morning at 7:30 with people saying, this boy went out last night and got drunk. He's about 15 years old. He went into a coma. They don't even know if he's expecting him to live. He's in the hospital down in Gaston County right now. They don't know if he's living. I have people call me like that all the time. And you know what I've learned to see? I've learned to see the other side. I've learned to see the other side. I've lived long enough now to see that sin has a front side, but sin has a backside. And buddy, you better remember that. You know what they say? Sin offers smiles, but brings tears. Sin offers peace, but brings fear. Sin offers health, but sickness brings. Sin offers songs, but it never sings. Sin offers the sun, but brings clouds. Sin offers life, yet bringeth shrouds. Sin offers freedom as its friend, yet slavery is its end. Success it boldly offers you, yet poverty is its last view. Sin offers silk, but bringeth clout. Sin offers in, but bringeth out. Sin offers rest, but bringeth toil. Sin offers joy, but brings turmoil. Sin offers wealth, yet giveth need. Sin offers flowers, yet giveth weed. Sin offers much, but giveth lack. Sin offers white, but bringeth black. Sin offers good, but brings bad. Sin offers joy, but then it makes you sad. Sin offers truth, but error shows. Sin offers light, and darkness knows. So God is not mocked. This message you keep, whatever you sow, you'll also reap. Sin always paints a pretty picture, but it never, ever, ever, ever pans out. Billy Kelly. Remember my friend Billy Kelly? Y'all remember him? Reminds me of him. Big old preacher. Great big old fellow. He weighed at one time about 400 pounds, and he preached all over the country. And Billy Kelly loved to eat. As you know, a man 400 pounds is going to eat. Well, he went down to the hospital and he visited this old lady there, and she's laying there sick, in a coma. Grandma laying there, and he got sitting around there looking around in his hospital room like this, and he looked around and there was a bowl of peanuts, and he couldn't resist them. Picked one up, ate it like that, and you know when you eat one peanut, you're going to want to eat another peanut. He ate another peanut and swallowed. He ate another one. He ate another one. He sat there waiting on her, ate the whole bowl. And, you know, directly old grandma roused up her a little bit. And she come around there, and she said, he said, "Grandma, it sure is good to see you feeling better, honey." Sure. She said, "Hey, preacher." He said, "Granny," he said, "I hate to tell you this, but," he said, "I have sat here and eat your whole bowl of peanuts. I'm sorry." And she said, "Oh, that's all right, preacher." She said, "Since they took my teeth out, I can't eat them no way. I just suck the chocolate off of them." I mean, let's all bow our heads and puke, right? I mean, can't do that. What are you going to do now? Oh, my goodness. Now, see, kids, that's the same way sin is. That's the same way sin is. Am I right, mamas and daddies? Listen, there's some adults in here tonight that our lives are scarred by sin, and we can't never change that. I'm trying to keep you from making the same mistakes we've made. Amen. And one of these days, you'll appreciate it. You say, "Man, I'm going to Saturday night, and we're going to club, and you know, they're going to play, get a DJ in there, and we're going to start a boom, boom, pop, boom, boom, pop, boom, boom." That's front side. You're just eating the peanuts. The devil done sucked all the chocolate off of it. That's right. And you're the sucker. You know, like that little black boy's down in the basement one time. She said, "Leroy, where are you at?" He said, "I was down in the basement." She said, "What are you doing in that basement?" He said, "I was eating grapes." She said, "Where are you getting them grapes?" He said, "Off the dog." That's right. That's right. That's the way sin is. That's the way sin is. Amen. That's the way sin is. I say, "Well, Brother Danny, oh, how awful, how awful." Same thing as a rap video. See? Amen. Eating a tick does the same thing to your body that a rap video does to your mind. It's mind pollution. It's sewage. It's the same as sewage going in your head. Ain't that right? Yes, sir, buddy. That's what sin is. Sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. See, you young people tonight, you don't realize. Let me show you what we see. You see them out here partying. You see the girls out here dancing, you know, and doing this. You know what we see them? We see them sitting over here in my office with a baby on one hip and a little about that high on the other hip crying, saying, "I don't know where he's at. He told me he loved me. I can't find him. I can't pay my light bill." We see the other side of sin. We see the other side. You just see the front. We see the back. Somebody said, "You see Delilah's cunning wiles causing Samson's thrill. We see him blind and shorn grinding at the mill. You see the prodigal son fitting fine. We see him after a while feeding with the swine. You see Judas with a smile counting 30 coins. We see him after a while busting out his loins. You see David sitting on a throne with a great nation to run. We see David all alone weeping over his son. You see Jacob running fast, looking cool and mod. We see him 20 years later limping back to God. You see Absalom so fair, fighting to be free. We see his rebellious hair hanging to a tree. You see just Lot at the gate, enjoying Sodom's fame. We see him when it's too late, sharing sin's shame. You see the living room of sin. We see the closets too. You see the front yard full of flowers. We see the backyard view. You only see sin's bright today. We it's tomorrow's share. You see its outer garment. We see the underwear. You see its deposit bold. Its withdrawal we see too. You see it white and yellow gold. We see it black and blue. You see its sunrise in the moon. We see the shadows fall. You see its joy when it's born. We hear the death angel call. You see its nice entrance, son. We see its exit vow. You see it now as it's begun. We see it after a while. You see the frontal view. We see it from the rear. You see it when it's shining new. We see it old and drear. You watch its bright daybreak. I see it's midnight. You see it when it's all dressed up. We see it when it's a sight. You hear it called it laughter loud and long. And we listen to it weep. You see it when it's wide awake. We watch it go to sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing you need to learn tonight, sin is deceitful. It never, ever will help you. You are never made better off by doing something wrong. It might seem like it. You might feel like you're making progress. You might feel like I'm getting ahead. But every time you do something wrong, you're going to have a setback. It will never permanently help you. Number two, let me say this. You know what I've learned? Sin is deceitful. Let me tell you something else I've learned. I've learned God is faithful. God is faithful. You can depend on the Lord. My first memories of the Lord were at my mama's knee when I was probably 3 years old. My mom used to set me on her knee, and me and my two sisters, and my sisters would be over here, and I'd be over here, and mom would take that big family Bible and open it. And she'd say, "Now kids, let me tell you," and she would read them Bible stories to us. That's why it's so important that mom spend time with their kids. I don't doubt right now. I probably wouldn't be saved right now if it hadn't been for my mom. Because you know, when I got up and got in high school, and I was playing rock and roll and band, and I was traveling. I played up at the Lake Club in Marion when I was 14 years old. I shouldn't even be out in there. And I was playing in a rock band in there. Teachers and big shots all over town out there dancing with each other's wives and everybody passing out on the floor and everything else. And I remember my daddy taking us home at night, and he had all our equipment in the back of his truck, and my dad was looking like this, nodding off, where he's so drunk he couldn't drive. And I remember reaching over and grabbing the steering wheel so we wouldn't wreck when I was 13 and 14 and 15. And deep down inside, my mama told me when I was little, she said, "Danny, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong." And I didn't really appreciate it till I got saved when I was 18. And I found out my mom was right, that Bible's right, that deep down underneath it all, there's still God. And He's still there waiting on you. And I don't care how far you go out there in this world, the Lord will be there waiting on you when you get back. He's faithful. He's faithful. Years ago, up in I think this was somewhere in Nebraska, March the 1st, 1950, a little country church, Beatrice, Nebraska, always had choir practice at 7:30 every Saturday night. Every Saturday night. Usually the people would begin arriving around 7:15 to 7:30. For some reason, on this Saturday evening, the pastor home to eat a quick supper. So he was going to be running late. His wife and daughter was getting ready to come on over to choir practice, and the daughter got something on her dress. They had to go back and change, and they was running late that evening. Hiring her something to wear. A sophomore girl in high school was also in that choir. She had a geometry test the next day and stayed at home that night to study her test. The two sisters who was going to come and pick her up would not start. they called the geometry girl and said, we need a ride. And she said, I've got a test tomorrow and can't come back and get you. One lady dropped by her mother's house to visit her mother, and she was late. The other lady in the choir suddenly realized that she had to write a letter and stayed home to write that letter and said, I'll just go on to church. Another one just said, I just felt lazy and didn't want to come. Another man said, I was talking with someone late. The piano player planned to come 1/2 hour early and fell asleep. The choir director tried to call the pianist to wake her up and made him late. And at 7:25, the boiler blew up and blew that church completely up. And nobody was there. That's a fact, man. They put that thing on something like on that Ripley's Believe It or Not show. And they said that God was taking care of, I've learned the longer I live, if there's one thing you can depend on, it's the Lord. We felt in the last 2 weeks we can't depend on our security here in America. You seen what happened in New Orleans and all down there, son, that can take this whole nation just like that. Nothing is secure. Nothing is secure. I mean, this country can go bankrupt. Our country can be through in complete chaos overnight by just one little hurricane hitting one of our cities. It changed our life forever, what happened 4 years ago today. But I'm going to tell you tonight, boys and girls, it doesn't matter how bad it gets. If the water gets 100 feet deep, if the mountains fall, sun goes out, if the moon turns to blood, you can stand upon the rock that never changes. I'm telling you, He never changes. He never changes. And He's the same God tonight as He's always been. Tell you what He's done for me. I can tell you, I can stand up here tonight and tell you stuff that you wouldn't believe. And it's the truth. I wouldn't believe it if you told it either, so don't feel bad. But I was preaching a little church one time. My sister, Sandy, my oldest sister, Sandy, played the piano at Sunnyvale Baptist Church, and way up on Highway 80 going out of Marion, going toward Mount Mitchell, Buck Creek, going up Buck Creek. Some of y'all know how to go up Buck Creek. And they lived up there on top of that mountain, and she played the piano, and she taught the kids how to sing, and she worked there, and she called me. She said, Danny, she said, our preacher wants you to come preach revival. And I was about 20, maybe about 20 years old, 21. And she said, Danny, I want you to come preach revival at our church. She said, our young people's mean as a devil. She said, I want you to come and preach to them. And I said, well, if they want me to, I'm glad to, Sandy. And she said, now our preacher's going to ask you to come. And she said, I want you to come up here and preach to them. And I said, all right. And he called me. And we had another preacher. It was a youth revival. And I preached one night. Another preacher preached another night. And I preached another night. That's the revival that Gene Googe got saved in. That's revival that there's a bunch of them come out of that meeting. Gene's still pastoring a church right over yonder in Longview on this side of Hickory right now. Liberty Baptist Church. And Gene got saved in that revival. It was on. Well, I went in there that first night. I had never had nothing like this happen to me since, before or since. I went in the first night. There was about maybe as many people as they might have been in this one section right here. That little country church. I went and sit down on the front row. And I sit down on the front row like this, and I was just looking around, and I looked up at the board where they had their attendance, and I think at that time their board said, I believe it said like 32 or something like that, just a little country church, 32. And I sat down there on the front row of that church, and I looked up there, and I could just see it saying 73. I have no idea why I thought that. And something spoke to me as plain as day and said, you get up there and tell them we're going to have 73 here in a couple of weeks. And I said, I'm not going to do that. They'll think I'm crazy. There's some fools, something like them TV preachers that try to do. I said, I ain't going to do that. I don't believe in stuff like that. And something said, get up there and tell them we're going to have 73 in a couple of weeks. I said, this is nuts, man. What in the world is wrong with me? And I just put it out of my mind. And I thought, I'll just jump up there and say, guess what? You got 30 now. You're going to have 73 in 2 weeks. I said, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do that. They'll think I'm crazy. And then they'll call me a liar and everything else. And boy, I'm telling you, the Lord got in that revival, and God started moving. People started getting saved. That thing went on. It was like, I preached like maybe Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Another guy preached Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday, something like that. And the Lord got in that. It was great. It was great. People started getting saved. They was crying. They started singing. It just took off. And then I heard about some more people getting saved, another people getting saved. And then I was at church somewhere on Sunday night, about 2 weeks later. I came in over at my mom's. There sat my brother-in-law, Jerry, not Sandy's husband, Jerry. She was sitting there. My mom and dad was sitting there. I said, "Well, how'd it go today?" It's 2 weeks later. They looked at me and they said, "Danny, you wouldn't believe it. Our church is doing great. Our church is doing great." They said, "We had 73 today." I said, "What?" They said, "We are." That's a truth, bro. That's a truth. My hand on that Bible right there. And I said, "I knew it." They said, "No, you did not." I did. I said, "I started to get up there and tell you, but I chicken." Yeah, whatever. You know, you're a prophet and you think you're something. Right. That's truth, people. That is the truth unto the Lord. I've seen stuff like that over. And how many of you have felt like God dealt with you and showed you things and let you in on little things and you knew it had to be God? Anybody ever had that happen to them? Sure you have. Sometimes you just know that the Lord, I'm going to tell you something tonight. He's real. He's faithful. He's looking at us right now. He sees me. He sees you. You can count on Him, kids. You can count on the Lord. You can count on Him. I could go on and on and on, but I'm telling you. I was praying one day. This is the truth. And it was one of them days when I was all prayed up. I was ripe. You don't have many days like that, do you? Most of the time you spend all your time trying to climb up. But it was one of them days I was just floating, hitting the high spots. And I'd been saved, I guess I was maybe about 20. And I'd been out of high school for 3 years. I graduated when I was 17. I got saved when I was 18. I started preaching when I was 19. I started pastoring when I was just past 22. And I thought I was really old then. That's a young guy pastor church, I'm telling you. And of course, you know all of that. And I remember I was down praying one day, and I got down to pray, and this guy's face come in my head. And I hadn't seen this guy since high school. I wasn't friends with him. Be honest with you, nobody wasn't friends with, sort of a nerd. I mean, he was just, nobody talked to him. He was sort of like a weird kind of a guy. I had no idea. I thought, what in the world? And I prayed, and I said, "God, lead me today, and you show me where you want me to go." I went outside in the car, took off to town, and that was a long time ago when on the street in Marion, we used to have roses. Y'all remember when, some of y'all from up there, you know when roses was on Main Street in Marion? Well, that's where everybody went, man. If you want to see anybody, that's where you went. You go to Walmart now if you don't see anybody. You went roses. I walked across the street, went in roses, walked back there. They had a little snack bar in there where you could sit on stools, you know, and order you something to eat. And I walked back there, and there stood that guy. That's the truth. I had not seen him in 3 years. I said, "Okay, buddy, you fixing to get it." I said, "I am going to lay it on this guy." I said, "The Lord sent me here." I started to go over and grab him and say, "The Lord sent me to talk to you." But he thought I was on something. And I'm telling you, I grabbed him, and I said, "How you doing, Dave?" He said, "Well, hey, Danny, I ain't seen you in a long time." I said, "Man, you know what? The Lord sent me up here to talk to you, Dave." I said, "Are you going to church?" He said, "No." I said, "He sent me here to talk to you." I was about to blow up. And you know, the Lord does a lot of stuff like that for you when you first, you know, when you first get saved, it seems like God just works miracles in your life just to let you know. Now He'll back off from you after you've been saved a while to make you go by faith. He don't do a lot of stuff like that now. Once in a while, I still get in. You know, He gives me a little something to go on. But I tell you, that was real. I found out God is faithful. You can depend on Him. I'm telling you, folks, you've got to remember that. Let me tell you something else right quickly. I'm going to hurry, and I'll give you a couple more of these. I got a lot of these, but I'll give you this one. Kids, you better learn this. The world is fictional. The world is fictional. Now, don't ever forget me saying this. One of the greatest lessons you'll ever learn in your life is that the world is not what it's cracked up to be. Listen to this. Half the work done in the world is an attempt to make things appear what they really are not. Now, I know some of you can't understand that right now, but remember me saying it and get it in your head. Half of the work done in the world tomorrow will be an attempt to make something look like something it's not. It's fiction. Did you know there's people that all they think about is being successful in the world, being popular, being well known? I want to be somebody. I want everybody to know me. I want to be in the clique. I want to be in the crowd. I want to be famous and all that. And then they die. And the world don't give a hoot that they've even been here. This world's not your friend. It'll chew you up and spit you out. And if the world is, that's why they said old Mahatma Gandhi, that famous Hindu, you know what they said before he died? He said, there is no light. All is darkness. You know what Clark Gable did? He had the world by the tail, 59 years old, married 5 times, and left no descendants. And he got a flop in life because he didn't have nothing to take with him. Hank Williams Sr. wrote the song, I Saw the Light. And thousands of people have sung that song, I Saw the Light. But Hank Williams Sr.'s life was destroyed by drugs. And they said when he died in the backseat of that cab, he had his pocket full of them things. Yellow jackets and goofballs and stuff. That's what they called them back then. And they said he was driving him from somewhere from up yonder, up north for a concert or something like that. He was sitting in the back seat dying. And he was cussing and ranting and raving and on drugs. And they turned him around and said, Hank, sing I Saw the Light. He saw light. There is no light. You know what Hank Williams found out? He found out this world will never really satisfy you. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with having stuff. If you got a nice car and a nice house, praise God, I'm happy for you. I hope the Lord makes every one of you millionaires, and you give it to me, and I can put it to use. I'm in. And I'm saying, you give me $1 million, I'll build us a building and knock your eyes out. And won't take one penny for myself. How's that? Amen? I mean that. But I hope the Lord bless you. I'm not against having something, but you are crazy if you think that's going to make you happy. There's some part down on the inside you that will never be satisfied. It's like this. TV is a perfect example. You know everything TV does is fake. You know that, don't you? Do you know there are people who actually believe that soap operas, I mean, really, there's one old woman went to church not long ago, got up in revival and said, pray for so-and-so. They're going to get a divorce. You know, it's somebody on a soap opera. I mean, they get into them things, man. That's real. Oh, Lord, she is all tore up. And did you know back behind that, oh, there's lights, camera, people walking around here, you know, cigarettes, you know, and a Coke machine over here and said, all right, roll it. Lead on there. Oh, darling, I must leave you.
But no,
please. But I must. Oh, please. And people just, and music starts playing. Right then, music always starts playing. Have you noticed it always starts? Ding. Where's that music come from? Have you ever noticed, you've married people in here tonight, have you ever noticed that in real life, the music don't start playing? In real life, what happens? The phone rings. Yeah. Oh, darling, what's wrong with you? That's real life. But, darling, what are you up to now? Your breath stinks. Yeah. That's real life. That's real life. That's right. See, the world, if you have to get on there. But, darling, ain't she pretty? She got a fro and everything there, man. I'm telling you. Darling, I've never felt this way before. And about, there's always this fire. How did they always wind up with a fire in the back? And that's so when their lips get closer and closer and you can see that fire through there, that fire is in your head, seeing you think, please, man. Please. You don't believe real life's like that, do you? You know better than that, people. You girls are so, you're, every one of you got blonde roots, man. I'm telling you, that's about as arid as you can get. It don't work like, wait, does it? Uh-oh, your wife heard you say that. His wife ain't here. Don't work like that, does it?
Yeah, it does.
We forget about Mr. Suave though here. It don't work that way for most people. It's fictional. It's fictional. I think they ought to make a video, a rock video, of Britney Spears with a flu. Really? I mean, you know, honestly, why don't do that? Why is she always all prettied up, you know, and everything? And they ought to show how fat her legs are. And she's got the flu, right? She's got a fever blister right here. And she's all, her hair's all messed up, no makeup. You wouldn't even know it was her. If you saw Britney Spears, you ever seen, I seen her on one of them old Inquire or something at Walmart right there when you're checking out the line. I said, that ain't, is that Britney Spears? She don't look like whether they can do wonders with that makeup and them cameras. And so they all have her, she's got this, you know, this fever blister right here. And she comes out, just got out of bed, wiping her hair like that. Her breath would make you sick. She's holding her stomach. And then she's down to come up. Oops, I did it again. You know, something like that. I think they ought to make one of her. How about that? Amen? How about that? Say amen right there. Now see, you boys in here saying, oh my goodness, I'll never look at her the same again. Well, she does puke, you know. She does, right in the commode, just like you do. Not me. I don't puke. I have, but it's been many, many years ago, and I'm shutting up, so I won't. The world is fiction. If I could just get y'all to see that, but some of you will go right to school tomorrow and not think, oh, man, there's a Snoop Poop Doggy Dog, and look at him, he's got a Hummer, and well, I want to be like him. Listen, you know what's going to happen to him? He's going down. He's going down, just like all them other ones. Just like back, you know, when you say Jimi Hendrix, and old Jimi Hendrix, they found him one morning where he couldn't even throw up. Choked to death on his own vomit. And I remember my friends, when I was just a teenager, and everybody wanted to be like Jimi Hendrix because he could play guitar good, and them boys I run around with would put airplane glue in little old plastic like baggies and sniff it so they'd get high off it. And I said, I remember thinking, y'all are crazy. I said, I like the music, but you're crazy. I ain't sucking glued up my nose. And some of them, yeah, that's when Brother Mike was dancing himself sober. That's what he said. He said he'd get drunk and dance till 2 o'clock in the morning, then dance himself sober. I said, how can you dance yourself sober? I don't know. Let me say this, and I've got to hurry. I didn't mean to take this long tonight. Let me say these, and I'm through. You know what? Let me give you another lesson. Death is inevitable. You're going to die. Well, duh, preacher. We all know that. Now, evidently, you don't. Most people live every day just like they ain't never going to die. We're all standing in line. I told a girl up in New York one time at a motel. I was waiting on the preacher to come pick me up. And I think it was snowing outside and bad weather. And this girl there behind, the, you know, the Catholic. Every Yankee is a Catholic. And they were all up there, you know, and I was in, she was behind the desk. I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? And I gave her a tract. I said, are you a Christian? She said, I'm Catholic. And I said, but if you died right now, would you go to heaven? She said, I don't know. And I said, you know what? We're all going to die. It's the point when a man wants to die. We're just all standing in line waiting our turn. It's like everybody in the world lined up, single file, and they're just dropping off. To a second. And we're getting it for our turn. Might be next. You might be next. So I went and preached that night, and I come back in the motel, and I walked back in, and I said, did you read that little thing I gave you? She said, yeah. And she said, I'm thinking about what you said. I said, what? And she said, about us all lined up. I said, that's the truth. You know what you better learn, young people? I don't care if you lift weights every day, you run 30 miles, you're the healthiest person in town. You're going to die one of these days. And it might be for tomorrow morning. You can keep yourself healthy enough to keep them dying. I heard of people, that basketball player that was in perfect health, heart, perfect everything, aneurysm. You know, the blood vessel just busting your head like that. Everything can happen any second. I ain't got time to get into all that. Let me say this and I'm through. Eternity is immeasurable. Now, what have we learned? Sin is deceitful. God is faithful. The world is fictional. Death is inevitable. 5, eternity is immeasurable. You know why we sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun? Because 10,000 is a term that means endless. If this was when you was born, right here at this wall, let's say you was born right here at this wall, that's 0. And let's say where my hand is now would represent 100 years. Now, you ain't going to live to be 100. But let's just say you did. Back it down to 75. There's 75 years. All right, then you die. Watch this. Here's 75 years. And then you die. Then you go here, 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 here. That was 75 back there like that. Here, 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 here. And it don't stop. It just keeps going. And after you've been in heaven or hell for 100 billion years, you're just got there and it's just starting. Now, when you think about it like that, this world ain't really that important as we think it is. Eternity is immeasurable. Let me tell you how people die. Gandhi said, "All is darkness, I'm praying for light." D.L. Moody, the great preacher, before he died said, quote, "This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious." You see the difference? Here's a man that lived for the Lord all his life. When he dies, he said, "Man, I'm just getting ready to graduate." Somebody lives in sin all their life. When they get ready to die, they say, "No, no, doctor, help me. Keep me alive. I don't want to die." Difference? You're going, I don't care if you got every doctor in the world working on you. You're going to leave. You're going to check out. You're going to die. 60 million a year. 2 per second. You know what Voltaire said before he died? You hear about Voltaire in school. He was a great philosopher and all that. You know what he said before he died? They ought to tell you this. In every school, at Freedom High School, at East Burke, over there, all these schools, they ought to tell you what he said. You know what he said? He said, "I am abandoned by God and man. I'd give anything for 6 more months to live. I shall go to hell." You know what Charles Darwin said before he died? The father of the theory of evolution. They ought to tell you this in high school. If they're going to teach evolution, they ought to tell you what Charles Darwin said on his deathbed. He said, "I was a young man with some uninformed ideas. I didn't know what I was talking about. I'm surprised it caught on so quick." You see, it all changes when it comes time to die. You know how long you're going to be in heaven or hell? They said, you took a steel ball the size of planet Earth. Steel ball, solid steel. And you put an ant, little pea ant, on that ball of solid steel and watched it crawl around. And you let it crawl and crawl and crawl and crawl and crawl. Crawl till it wears that thing down the size of a marble. Eternity just starting. They said if a bird could go down to the coast, down to Carolina at the coast, and pick up 1 grain of sand, and fly all the way to the moon and drop it, and fly all the way back to Earth and pick up another grain of sand, and fly all the way to the moon and drop it, if he moved every grain of sand on the planet like that, it's just beginning. You thought about that lately? You see, what's wrong with our teenagers is we think, now, 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 that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Listen, this ain't that long. Life ain't that long compared to forever, forever, and ever. Somebody asked me last night, they said, "How in the world?" My mom fussed at me this morning. She said, "Danny, you cannot stay up and drive like that." Said, "You're going." And I said, "Mom, we had 21 kids saved last night. And I know I may never be much as far as this world goes. But I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When I stand in front of the Lord one of these days, and I look around there and there's all them kids that got saved, I'm going to say, that right there is what mattered. That's what mattered. That's some things you better learn. And if you don't learn them the easy way, like listening to me tonight, you will learn them the hard way." Let's stand by our heads for prayer.